Hi, Mel.
Hi, Josie.
This is a bit new and different, isn't it?
It is. We said we were going to do it.
We did.
It took us 6 episodes, so almost half the podcast season to do it. But we are finally doing Mystery Minute.
Mystery Minutes. We're true to our word, guys. Eventually we got there.
Yeah.
To be fair, I did travel a fair bit and we were doing like episodes in advance.
Yes.
And we're kind of just in our rhythm now because I'm never going anywhere again because I have no annual leave left.
Yeah, I'm not either because I took 4 months off work to go travel around Australia.
We're here and we're in your ears twice a week.
Yes.
Hopefully.
We're looking at Tuesday and Friday, but also who knows?
Who knows? Don't hold us to it, okay?
Don't take everything we say with a grain of salt, always.
A huge bag of rock salt.
A giant bag of that Himalayan salt stuff that's like really good. That's really good.
The pink one.
And I don't think it's actually from the Himalayas always. It can't possibly all be coming from the Himalayas.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the name of it. Like saying you've got a Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh,
the dog isn't from
Yorkshire. Imagine if it was from Yorkshire.
Every dog is born there.
My sister literally said to me the other day, she goes, I've got a new puppy. Well, my mum has a puppy, which means I therefore have a puppy because I'm there all the time playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate goes, why is that we talk English around Millie all the time, but she doesn't learn to speak English? And I was like, that's so ridiculous.
That's
and yet
so deep.
I am wondering.
Was she injecting bongs at that time?
Oh, she probably was.
That's
injecting
a very
so
injecting
many bongs.
Marijuana.
The marijuana. It's so funny
comment.
That we were talking about that because I got in the mail yesterday one of those like letterbox drop things and it was one of those completely naff like anti-drug pamphlets that will not convince anybody to stop taking drugs but will absolutely convince some baby boomers to freak out about their children
about the
taking the marijuanas. And it had like all the slang terms for all the different drugs and that they start with alcohol and it had things like sauce and like tinnies and we were like, well, no, that's just a tinny is a beer can.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, it's not like you pull out a bottle of Chardonnay. You're like, can I interest you in a tinny?
In some
like,
tinny.
Yeah.
Would you like some tinny?
Yeah. They were way off. It's definitely written by someone that is straight edge and doesn't do those things.
Oh, and has never seen a tinny in
and
their life.
And is like, yes, tinnies, I believe that's alcohol. Put that down. Write that down.
But anyway, Mystery Minutes is basically just us talking shit so we talk less shit in the podcast.
Yes, because look, some people enjoy the talking of the shit. Some people don't. We'll still do a little bit of banter, obviously, in the normal episodes. That's not going away. We're not turning serious.
No.
Case file. But this is just, we're just going to chat. And we're not limited to Australian mysteries and an hour.
No, we can do anything we fucking want.
We can talk about whatever we want. It will all be vaguely crime related.
I mean, again, don't hold us to it. Giant bag of Himalayan salt. Keep it by you.
Keep it right next to you and just
keep taking those grains. Keep taking them.
So what are we talking about today, Mel?
Well, you've been talking in my ear constantly about Dirty John.
I have.
But the show.
Yes, but not in the way of like, oh my God, I've watched it all. Let's talk about it because I only watched 2 episodes. So I'm in no way the authority here to talk about it.
I watched the credits of the first episode.
Right. So,
so that's as
really
much
grab
as I'm
going
to – well, no, it's not that it hasn't grabbed me. I think it's that thing where – you know, a year ago or more, I was obsessed with Dirty John, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
Like we all were. And then now it's been almost too long and so many other – like if Teacher's Pet brought out a TV show right now, I'd be like
– you've moved on mentally.
I'd be like – it would be like me injecting bong, but it would be Teacher's Pet.
You'd inject Teacher's Pet, the series, straight into your veins.
Yeah, because I'm like super in that zone still. But if it – like I think it's just been too long and so I sort of lost the excitement for it. But I'm hearing good things.
Well, I'm just – and I wrote this to you last night. I just can't – and this is so bad. And this is a safe space, so no one judges
me. It's totally
me,
a safe space.
But I can't help but victim blame Deborah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the way Connie Britton plays her. But I'm just like – it's episode 2 and there's already so many red flags. And I'm just like literally there's a draw. If you haven't watched Dirty John, skip past this. He has a drawer where he has his fucking arrest records. And, yeah, she's a bit, like, shaken about it. But, like, there's 6 more episodes to go. clearly she doesn't just dump his ass then.
How's
and there.
It going to get worse than this?
It's just, and it's taking me back to listening to it and the amount of times I'd be walking on the street to work listening to it and I'd exclaim out loud, like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Like, yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. Because, yeah, at first her kids are just really off him.
Yeah.
But that, and they go to therapy in the show and it kind of shows that, yeah, she's been married 4 times. They've got some issues around trust with mm-hmm. men and the men she's seeing. So it's probably an inbuilt prejudice already.
Yeah.
And then he's a bit creepy. Yeah. And they decide that he's bad. But then there's fucking evidence, like staring her in the face. And then he starts being creepy to her and she still like hangs around way too long and yeah. puts her family in danger.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Deborah, you're a smart woman. You run a business. You're a successful woman.
It is so wild because it's sort of like, If he was saying to her, oh, babe, like I went to jail a few times, but I'm, you know, yeah. I'm reformed, I'm like a good person, I swear, blah, 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 then I would feel like, okay, I can see how someone would just like, you know, if you're in love with someone and you've also like been around the ringer, been through the ringer.
Yes,
in terms of relationships, yeah. maybe you're like, I'm going to make this work, yeah. I'm going to make this work, you know, I'll forgive him. But when it's literally like you're finding secret shit,
yes.
it's kind of dude, he's not even admitting this shit to you. That makes it 50 million times worse.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's women that are in abusive relationships and I never want to judge that because it's like it's a deep thing. You don't know what's going on there. But she's known him for 4 seconds. Like it's not like she's so deeply entrenched. In the show he says, I love you before she says it.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's so – I just personally can't understand the hold he has over her because I'm not in the situation. But
I feel it
makes for very frustrating viewing.
It must be something like when you're in that situation – like I'm sure there are people, women who are like, no, this is totally makes sense. And obviously it's a true story. So like yes, it happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, like watching it from the outside. And this is always the way as well from the outside. It's like when you're like, you know, watching even just a scary movie and you're like, don't go running through the park and like don't go walking down there. But then it's like.
You never know until you're in that situation.
Yeah.
Like what you would do. But I think the show itself, aside from my general angst around the storyline, I think she's good. I think he's good. The daughters are a bit annoying.
Yeah.
I thought they were much more – they were very sassy in the podcast, especially the older one.
Yes.
But, like, they really play up the Orange County,
Marissa Laguna
and
Beach.
Summer vibes. Mm. And I just – even though one of them had a safe for her Birkins in the show and in the podcast, she still was very whip smart. Like, she was the one straight away that was like – he's dodgy.
Yeah.
She wasn't dumb. And they just seem a bit dumber in the show.
Yeah, like they're playing up that like bimbo from the beach kind of vibe.
Irritate me a bit. But it's good otherwise. Eric Banner is really scary. He's perfect for the role.
Yeah, because he's really attractive but also can look like
but those black
terrifying.
Eyes. Like his eyes are just, it's so well done. His eyes are like 2 dead shark eyes. Like just soulless.
Do you reckon he'll get an award?
There's already been like Golden Globes and he wasn't nominated.
Oh, yeah,
she was.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, was the show nominated?
She was nominated. Maybe it'll.
She's so good. I used to fucking love Friday Night Lights. Yeah. I still do. And she's just such a good actor.
She's fab. And she's really good in this because she's quite. I mean, the fact that I am getting so frustrated means that she's playing it so well.
Yeah.
Where the daughters are like really at her about him and being really awful to him and awful to her. And she's just very, like, ineffectual and kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And, like, we've seen her be such a capable person in other shows, Friday Night Lights, Tammy Taylor, always knew what to do. And then in Nashville, I can't remember her character's name.
Yeah. Oh, God, I loved her in Nashville. It's not Reba McEntire because that's a real person. It sounds like Reba McEntire, though.
They definitely, like, based
it's
it
like
on her.
You are Reba McEntire. You just don't have the name Reba.
McIntosh.
Yeah. Raina.
Raina?
MacArthur.
It was Raina.
Raina.
It was Raina.
Oh, my God. It actually was Raina. Raina James?
Raina James sounds familiar. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah,
and she was obviously a boss in that. And in this, she's just a bit useless.
Yeah.
And she plays it really well.
She has always played really strong women.
Mm.
But I suppose Deborah becomes strong in a way because she's a survivor. And
you know what? She's fucking strong because she shared her story. And that's what I was thinking last night when I was watching it. I was like, you know, I'm here yelling about how I'm getting frustrated with her. And she would have been kind of humiliated by the whole experience.
Yeah, totally.
And to then open up and share with the podcast, with the world, is very brave, I think, and very strong.
I think so too. And I think, like, I mean, I don't really remember the start of it is that the LA Times, the LA Times or an LA paper did a report on it. But yeah, like it could be a very humiliating tale if you've, you know, you've had your four marriages and you wanted this one to work and then it just happens that you ended up marrying a total sociopath. So it's like that would be hard to pill to swallow as a person and then harder to have it all get turned into like all this media circus about it. But yeah, it is. And it is kind of a good message, I suppose, for other people.
I think it's great. I think it's a really good timing.
Yeah.
Because a few people in my life have met some interesting men, let's put it that way. And then with all the Ted Bundy kind of stuff, it's that very, it can come in a package that you don't expect it to.
Yeah.
Like he looks like he's a successful, handsome doctor. It doesn't seem like that person could be what he really is.
Yeah, I think exactly.
Like you were saying in your story about Ted Bundy, why it's important to remember that he was handsome.
Yeah.
Is that it can come in these packages and not to like not trust anyone, but just to be aware that just because someone's good looking and on the surface they seem like they're very, in inverted commas, normal, you know, they could be a psycho with a drawer full of arrest records.
Yeah.
So.
Who ends up stabbing your daughter.
Yeah. Spoilers abound.
So that was a huge spoiler. Yeah. I didn't expect that in the actual podcast. So I can't wait to see how it looks in the TV show. So I wanted to tell you a fun story.
Yeah.
That, well, it's just a stupid story. But then I thought of something else to do with the story that made it like kind of crimey, but then in a very real way, not crimey at all. Mm-hmm. So my sister had this massive night the other week. And in the morning I was like, how's your head? And she was like, oh my God, I spewed in the preschool next door. And I was like, what do you mean in the preschool? And she was like, I just like, I don't know why I decided to walk into their playground, into the premises. She's like, you have to walk into the premises to do this. So I think she was thinking, get off the road, you know, like don't do it on the middle of the street where cars will see you. I'm assuming that's what she was thinking, because she went into the preschool and then just did this little chunda on the playground, like grass. And then, because we're both living at home at the moment, saving money after exorbitantly expensive trips. And so she told me this in the morning and my dad was around. And then she's like gotten really like hangover paranoid about it. And she was like, what if someone will like identify me? Like, what if there was CCTV like filming me or something, or like they can identify me from my vomit? And I was like,
what, they're going to DNA test?
Well, this is what I mean. I was like, dude, no one's DNA testing your vomit.
And then go and ask everyone in the area for swabs. Like, I know. Who did this?
And like, why? It wouldn't even necessarily be someone in the area. And even if they CCTV footage, do you just vomited on the grass?
Also,
like
kids vomit. It could have been a kid.
It could have been a kid.
You never know.
Anyway, it culminated with my dad going over there with like a bucket of water and like washing her spew away, which is just fantastic areas.
Let's face it, a middle-aged man in a preschool is fine.
That's even worse.
That's fine. Yes. Totally fine for him to be hanging out there on CCTV.
With a bucket, like
hiding
furtively.
Some kind of crime. Great.
That's definitely not as creepy as like a drunk girl spewing in the playground. Anyway, no, nothing has come of it, but it reminded me, like I do this all the time. I get, maybe it's like a Mason thing, but I get like hangover paranoid all the time.
About crimes?
Well, just doing bad shit when you're drunk, but not like bad shit. Like one time an old job of mine had a Christmas party, and the Christmas party was held in a cafe that was like owned by the building, if that makes sense.
Oh,
so
yeah. I know
anyway,
what you mean.
So we were like, the glasses and stuff were all provided from there, and I got really drunk, and then I walked out with a wine in a glass. No. And then I was like walking along the street and I was like, I just remember this hazy feeling of looking at it going, oh my God, I've stolen a glass. Oh my God, they're going to find out, because if I leave the glass here, this is how my brain was working. If I leave the glass here, they can know that it was me.
Yeah.
I'd better throw it in the middle of the road and smash it to pieces. So I like hurled it.
It's gone.
Yeah. So I hurled this glass into the road, and I remember seeing it smashed to smithereens. And in my head, that was like the most logical way to dispose of the evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, like, an outside observer that saw you doing that would have just seen this drunk girl tottering along with a wine and stop suddenly, stare at the wine for a few seconds, and then just hurl it into the middle of the road.
I know. No logic to that at all.
Yeah. I don't have this paranoia. Yeah. And when you were telling me about this earlier, I thought of an anecdote to share where I got incredibly drunk. It's actually to date the last time I spewed from drinking. I'm not a big vomiter.
Okay.
Like Kate, obviously, in the fucking preschool.
Vomit pants over here.
Yeah, I'm not. But this was the last time I vomited. It was actually 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so long.
It was when I first started working in the media and went out and had too much wine of, like, different wines and just bad and got home. No, then my friend my housemate escorted me home. Like, he was, like, looking after me. And then we went into the convenience store, which was the one we always went to. It was just near our house, like, on the corner. And we kind of knew the guys that, not by name, but, you know, and – like my housemate went to buy cigarettes and I was standing next to him like swaying so drunk and I was just looking down and I'm kind of the opposite where I get like I want to do something naughty.
Yeah.
When I'm drunk and I was like, I'm going to steal these gobstoppers. And I just picked up the gobstoppers and put them in my bag and my housemate saw me and then we left and I was like, oh, I just stole these gobstoppers, like I shoplifted. And he's like, that's really bad. I'm pretty sure the guys saw you. You can't do that. And I was like, it's fine. It's gobstoppers. They're like $2. The next day I didn't open them or anything. Yeah. And he made me feel bad. Then I went home, spewed everywhere.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Beautiful.
And then the next day I got home and he's like, I took the gobstoppers back.
Oh my God. To the guys. Why are you being such an annoying angel?
And the guys were like, he goes, I'm sure you noticed that Josie took these last night. And they were like, no, we didn't notice and also who cares? Like, you guys are here all the time.
Yeah, and also like this is more awkward because we probably did like our stock take overnight or some shit and now we're like, great, now we have to recount it. Yeah,
now we're in trouble with the boss. So then I gave him so much shit about taking my gobstoppers that for my birthday he bought me like 4 packets of them.
Oh my God, that's cute. Oh, and you're like, God. I don't even like gobstoppers that much. I just wanted to steal something.
Like I get the opposite where I want to be a criminal.
Oh no, I want to be a criminal. I'm constantly stealing shit from pubs and stuff. Like I'm always like going home with like glasses and things that I just don't need. And then I feel bad the next day though.
I never felt bad about those gobstoppers.
I mean, they're gobstoppers. I always feel bad when it's like a pint.
Yes. My brother used to, when he first turned 18, he would steal a glass everywhere he went. And mum, I remember her saying to him one day, fuck, next you're going to come home with a bar stool. Like he started with like shot glasses and then middies and then pint glasses. She's like, next you're going to walk in with the stool from the bloody pub down the road.
I think the worst one I ever did was I stole the black pool ball.
That's
I know. No, I so hate myself. Fucked. I hate myself.
That's
so
a really
much.
Fucked thing to do.
I know, and I hate myself. But I was really drunk in my defense, and I was also like 22. So it's like not even, I can't be blamed for something that happened over 10 years ago. But I didn't realize I'd done it until I woke up in the morning and found it in my handbag. Mm. And then I was like,
did you throw it into the middle of the road?
I am the devil. Like, I'm actually a demon. I'm as bad as Ted Bundy.
Mm.
Like, the black pool ball, not even like one of the colored ones. You could just sort of maybe take another, like a stripey out if it was a whole color one, and then just like deal with it. But it's the black one. They need it. Yeah. I feel so bad. They probably had to buy a whole.
No one
new
can
set
ever finish their game of pool ever.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, it was a bad night. So
okay.
Yeah, but the other thing you want to talk about was the Golden State Killer because you've been listening to the podcast episode series. It's a series, right?
Well, it's a series that Case File do.
Yeah.
So they do 5. I think he does 5.
Wow, that's a lot.
So, okay, in the last episode of All Aussie Mystery Hour, I say that I'm very methodical and I have to work through things from start to finish. Basically, I got those words out of my mouth and then completely did the opposite thing.
Your personality just changed.
I just changed and I've started picking and choosing Case File, and like I just mentally couldn't deal with 5 episodes of the Golden State Killer for a while, so I've skipped forward. I've been not listening to it. Some just don't interest me. Like, no offense to the victims, your story doesn't interest me. I'm not going to name what they are because that's mean, but some, it's just not the kind of crime I'm necessarily interested in listening to. And Golden State Killer I'm obsessed with, but I was like, I just can't tackle that right now.
Yeah.
So I've gone back to it and I've been listening to it for a few days. Oh, my fucking God. I think because I've read I'll Be Gone in the Dark, I've listened to Paul Holes' Audible, I was just like, I don't want to listen to Case File doing it.
Yeah.
But he does it in such a different way, in a very methodical, literally from victim one, chronologically, he goes through and describes every single crime. Even Paul Holes doesn't do that. Even I'll Be Gone in the Dark, she's picking
out
and going back and forth.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's so fucked. And he keeps, so we've been talking about it in the group, he keeps in the first two, he does the voice.
So he's saying the anonymous host is doing the voice. No. I thought you meant he was playing the recording.
So he does play the phone, some victim, fucking survivor actually, that's what he calls them, which I think is awesome.
Yes.
One survivor got a phone call where he's like, I'll kill you.
Oh my God, I hate when you do the voice.
I hate that, the stuttering, weird. Mm. So the whole series opens with that and then he goes into it and then I'm just up to him playing that now, chronologically. But what he was doing was acting out the attacks and going, then the man grabbed the husband and said, if you move, I'll fucking kill you. But he doesn't in his Australian accent.
Yeah.
But the Golden State Killer did this whisper.
Yeah.
And he'd talk through clenched teeth and like to disguise his voice almost, like a Batman vibe, but like a bad Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like clenching so people wouldn't understand him. But the Golden State Killer does that. I mean, the host does that.
Oh, God.
And it's just like, no, you don't need to do it in your bogan Aussie accent.
Yeah, which makes you sound like a John Jarrett in fucking...
it's terrifying.
Wolf
it's
Creek.
Like, so terrifying, and like the stuff he's saying is obviously so fucking creepy. Like, I like your body and all this weird stuff. And I'm like, mate, you don't need to. And someone in the group said that, like, real time when they were releasing these episodes, he like went into his Facebook group and said, oh, some of you have said that that was unnecessary or trying something new out. I'm not going to do it anymore. And he hasn't been doing it.
Maybe dramatizing it a bit more.
Yeah. So he still says what the Golden State Killer whispered, but he just says it in his normal tone of voice and doesn't try and impersonate. He was impersonating him, which is so unnecessary.
Yeah,
he's not doing that now. And honestly, these episodes are brilliant. Like this five-parter that I'm listening to, it's like I was home alone last night and I'm like, I better not listen to it, but I couldn't help myself. It was just so good. And then I was really creeped out because I was in the kitchen cooking and then doing some dishes, and like this Golden State Killer would sneak up on people. Like, he'd let himself into the house and then wait for ages.
No, why be that guy?
And then he'd like that. They wouldn't hear him, and suddenly he'd put his hand over their mouth. And I was doing the dishes, which obviously the sink's against the wall, and the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up.
Yeah,
because I was like, oh my God, what if someone's behind me? Like, I kept looking. There's no one there. So I stopped listening to it and watched The Golden Girls instead. Oh. I go from dark to very light.
From Golden State Killer to Golden Girls.
Yes, but it's just, and you know a lot about the case. It's just, he was a demon.
It's, I think what's the worst thing with him was, which we've always talked about ever since we started reading I'll Be Gone in the Dark, was that he played with his victims like that, and like played with their mental health and like their sanity even, and like just like those stories where he would have already attacked them
and call back
and things are over and then they would be lying there like blindfolded and gagged and so on, and then they'd be waiting for like 45 minutes, like a long time.
And he'd close the door and
and
make footsteps.
And they're waiting in silence, and then just when they're like, you know, you would be starting to maybe go, okay, I could probably try and like get out of my, you know,
binding
tan ties and so on. He would be like, boo, up on their in their ear or something,
or like it's smash like, a plate or something.
Yeah, and it's just like that is, I think, so much of fear is to do with that kind of having to have that level of anxiety for so long. And it's just awful. It's like, okay, so you're going to be a horrible person and like abuse someone and like destroy their life via abuse. And then you're going to also like fuck with their head even more afterwards, you piece of shit.
Well, yeah, that phone call that I was just doing. I love the hypocrisy of me being like, the Case File guy does not need to impersonate the Golden State Killer, and then I impersonated the phone call. That phone call where he's like, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Was like 8 or 9 months after he raped her.
Yeah.
So wrong. I said to you the other day, I don't understand how these people ever slept again. Because some of them moved. I remember Paul Holes saying that in his Audible series. Some of them move like straight away. They're like, fuck this.
Mm.
But some of them had no choice but to stay. Like they couldn't afford to move or you know, their families. Yeah. And maybe they were like, no, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to stay here. But then he'd call and like sometimes he'd taken their IDs and their mail and their keys. And, you know, how could you ever sleep knowing you got in once? And then he'd call and say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to come back and kill you. Like I applaud every single person that managed to just get their way through life after dealing with that.
Yeah.
I just...
Absolutely.
I mean, I was scared in my house listening to a podcast about him 40 years later.
Yeah.
They actually lived through it and he'd call them and torment them and it's just so scary.
Well, it's like your body's been violated. Yes. But also your, you know, your safe space, like your house, mm-hmm. your home has been violated because someone broke... Because I've experienced break-in. Yes. I think we've talked about this. You have too.
It's really scary.
And like the feeling that your home has been invaded is in and of itself a terrifying experience and that you have to get over. It's like, and I never got over it in the old place where I lived when that happened. That house never felt 100% safe to me ever again. Mm. So imagine if that happened plus you personally got violated. Yeah. Like that's like a double whammy of shit you have to get over. Yeah. And then for him to continue that, like, you know, fucked up mental state by calling 9 months later. It's just like, dude, like you've already taken something that wasn't yours to take. Yes. And now you're going to like keep that person, you know, in this dark hole for so long. It's just, I hate it.
Yeah. And even the fact they didn't catch him.
Yeah.
Like think of the decades. Because apparently I haven't heard this in this podcast yet, the case file one, but I read this or heard it somewhere else. He called years later. He called like a decade later, one of them, just randomly, saying, remember when we played?
Yeah, I remember that too. I feel like it might have been in the book.
Yes. And I think, like, I've just read it in articles and stuff.
Yeah.
But he did years and years later, not even 9 months.
Yeah, it's like you maybe have actually moved on from this horrible experience and then you get a call from, the person who violated you. And
so he knows where you are. He's called you. It's just...
Oh, fuck off, Golden State Killer, you piece of shit.
I'm so glad, even though he's 700 years old, that they fucking caught
him. Me too. It's like with the Beaumont kids, like I want that murderer to be found because they're the kinds of cases where you're like, nah, no, you did a really, really, really bad thing.
You don't get to get away with that.
Destroyed a family's life. You know, that family stayed in that house for years waiting for the kids to come home. Like, no, fuck you. Mm. You get to get caught and punished. And like, you know, I guess for a killer, I always imagine it would be quite humiliating to get caught.
The jig is up.
You know, where it's like, oh, it's just you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like part of it would be the power of being unknown anyway.
Especially a very smart, organized killer like the Golden State Killer. He hasn't actually killed anyone yet where I'm up to.
Oh, I was he definitely did.
So much worse for me and I won't be listening to it at home alone.
No.
People in the group were saying that they like had to stop it because they were home alone and nope.
Yeah.
The group that we refer to, I mean, I'll just put this little plug in, is our Facebook group.
Yes.
The Aussie Mystery Hour podcast group on Facebook. Go there, request, we'll accept you because we love you.
Yeah.
And then you can talk about anything.
And we're always in there.
We're always there.
We're in there too much,
we
to be
love
honest.
It.
We love it. Maybe this is how we can wrap up our mystery minutes, is just telling all the little informations. Like our Instagram is All Aussie Mystery Hour. We post on there.
Oh, I was going to make a story today with the
dog. We're pretty sporadic with it.
I didn't.
We have Twitter, mystery_hour. As yet, not one tweet. No, it's almost become a game.
Yeah, we'll never post on Twitter, but please follow us.
Follow us for the time that we eventually get really, really famous and have a social media person who gives a shit
does
stuff for us.
Content. And then there will be a new full episode on Tuesday.
Yep.
That one we do stick to. This one?
Who knows?
This one's a real just maybe flash in the pan.
It's a palaver.
Yeah.
Is it a palaver? What's a palaver? I just love that word.
Palaver's like, oh, what a fiasco, isn't it?
This is a bit of a fiasco, so it is a bit of a palaver.
Yeah, but this is just something we're doing. It's a space for us to talk about non-Aussie mystery things that we just want to chat about.
We essentially just can't fucking shut up, yeah, so we just keep recording our voices.
Our own voices.
Love it. On that note, see ya.
See ya.